Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Anonymous bobblehead, right?
That would probably trump Shinjo, actually. Because Shinjo had a nice career there for a couple of years. And I mean,
yeah,
baseball, right? In the major leagues.
And he was a good outfielder, right? He played center field. He was a good center fielder. And I don't know.
Excellent.
I have to look it up. Yeah, I presume he had a decent career in Japan because guys, if they don't play well over there, you know, they don't come over here. So, yeah. So Darius Singaila is the most anonymous bobblehead any of us have here. 888-957-9570. Real quickly here, breaking news today. We won't spend a lot of time on this, but we must address this statement from the Redskins today. The Redskins have issued a press release July 3rd, 2020. It reads, in part, "In light of recent events around our country and feedback from our community, the Washington Redskins are announcing the team will undergo a thorough review of the team's name. This review formalizes the initial discussions a team has been having with the league in recent weeks." There's more, but it looks like we are right now where the Redskins are getting ready to change that nickname that many find so offensive. That brings to mind the question, what will the next name be? Here's one that I've heard that I think would be very appropriate, JD, and I think this was first suggested about 7 years ago because this controversy has raged on for years, and someone suggested about 7 years ago, and I think this was a council member in D.C., that they change the name from the Redskins to the Red Tails in honor of the Red Tails were a group of African-American fighter pilots in World War II. The military was segregated then, and that, I mean, if you want to make a clear statement that we don't want to have a name that is racist anymore, and then, you know, you honor some African-Americans who were fighting for our country while the military was segregated, I think that would be a strong statement. We'll see. Also, some people are suggesting they change the name to Warriors. We can't have that, can we? I mean, we've already got the Warriors. Can't have, no, that won't work. That's not a good idea.
Can't do it.
No,
can't be the Warriors. I think the Red Tails would be great. I mean, for those reasons that you laid out, and it does seem like it's time. And maybe you could make a case it's been time as far as a change there. But yeah, I mean, I think this is really the first time that they've actually acknowledged that as a franchise that they're going to at least consider it.
Yeah, and I think some have also suggested, I saw the Washington Sentinels, which I believe is the name of Keanu Reeves' team in The Replacements, if I'm not mistaken. A team that movie was based on the Redskins in the strike year. Charlie Casserly and the great job he did putting together that team when, you know, we had a strike and we didn't know where we're going to get players, and we had a very good team. So, and I asked Charlie Casserly about that. Is that movie actually based on you? Ah, absolutely right. Yeah, that was based on a team. So I don't know about Washington Sentinels. I'm hoping for Red Tails, but we'll see. It's just interesting that after all this time, so many things happening now where so many people are just deciding, you know what? We've had it with that statue. We've had it with this team name. It's just, we're not going to accept it anymore. So we'll see where the Redskins go from here. Whitey Gleason and John Dickinson on 95.7 The Game. Speaking of the Warriors, the basketball Warriors, JD, I know that you said, I apologize, because you said you had a point you wanted to make about the Warriors and road wins, the fact that we will not have any road wins because there are no road games in these playoffs. And I wanted to give you a chance to make that point, if you can recall that was.
Yeah, it just goes back to what you were saying about how impressive it is to win a road game, in particular in the playoffs, because I think the most remarkable stat of the Warriors, not only their championship run, but their run of just playoff appearances you know, with Steph and Clay and Draymond, that core group, when you go back to 2013, so the first year that that group made the playoffs together, they won a road game in every single playoff series that they've played. 23 consecutive playoff series with a road win. It goes all the way back to when they beat the Nuggets, and George Karl and Andre Iguodala was still a Nugget before he came over to the Warriors. But yeah, 23 consecutive series, the two that they played in 13, they won a road game in 14 when they played the Clippers, and then the five straight years where they played four playoff series, obviously making it all the way to the NBA Finals, accounting for 20. They won a road game in every single one of those series as well. So 23 straight playoff series with a road win. I think that's one of the most impressive feats really in NBA history. And it goes to your point about, you know, just how we're not going to have that this year and how big it is.
Yeah, it's one of the first things I look at, even just during a baseball season, during the regular season. And I know that home court means more in basketball than home field in other sports. But, I mean, winning on the road is a real sign of a good team. So, again, everyone's playing under the same rules. But that's why I just think in some ways it may be easier for whomever wins a championship this year than it has been in past years. Because, I mean, you really got to have a strong, courageous team. You got to have that solid foundation, right, to be able to go into other arenas and win playoff games. As far as the Warriors go, and John Dickinson and I, it's the first time we've had a chance to be on the air since March 10th. So we haven't really had a chance, JD, to wrap up this Warriors season. Maybe you've been avoiding it. I think that would be understandable. Where do you think the Warriors go? Where are they, and where do you think they go from here? What are your thoughts now? I know we talked about it all season, the draft. Some free agents. Where are they right now? Where do you think they go from here?
They're really not in a different spot at all compared to, you know, a lot of things that we talked about throughout the course of the season. Obviously, Andrew Wiggins is now in the mix. I think the Warriors have got to feel pretty good about the fact that they made that deal. Believe it or not, I think with the finances and the way things are and could change in the game, I think. They actually, and we talked about this in terms of injury, Whitey, but it's interesting to me, like they could have in some ways wound up stuck with D'Angelo Russell and had him be more untradeable because of changes to the cap and teams that potentially wouldn't want to spend as much money on a player like him. So I think just to get the positional, you know, certainty of, all right, you know who your small forward is going to be on paper, and having that be Wiggins rather than be, you know, stuck with you know, a third guard that needs to play a lot of minutes and somebody that's ball dominant. I actually think them making that trade, you know, a month before everything shut down, I think they're going to wind up, in a little bit of a better spot right off the top just for doing that. What do you think about that? And I've got some other, you know, other thoughts.
I remember me personally, it was such a sense of relief that when they finally decided to deal D'Angelo Russell. It's just a matter of Wiggins. For me, Wiggins, I'm sure you remember this. I was kind of suggesting, hey, maybe they should make that deal well before it happened. I was high on Wiggins. They brought him in from the get-go. I remember his first moments on the floor as a Warrior. He was really sticking his nose in there and defending LeBron. By the time the season ended, I felt like, okay, now I know why people are not really that enthusiastic about Wiggins. He's a nice player, but I don't think he is, nor will he ever be, anywhere near the player that Minnesota thought he was going to be when they drafted him. Maybe that's not his fault. I'm just not sure what the Warriors have in him, and I think going forward, that's a huge question.
Yeah, I think it is, but at least they know they have him. And I think and now they know, you know, as you start to pencil out, you know, okay, you got Steph, you got Clay, you got Draymond, you got Wiggins. I mean, at least on paper, that's, you know, 4/5 of your starting lineup. As far as the rest of it, and, you know, to me, there are three other players that I've identified in addition to those four. So you have those four players that we mentioned, and then the next three players I put in this category of, I think the Warriors believe these guys will be, you know, rotation players on some level for them next year. And it's Marquese Chriss, Eric Paschal, and Damian Lee. You know, Damian Lee really played well for this team once he came back, you know, from injury and was able to really, you know, play a lot. I mean, his shooting ability, his, you know, willingness to defend. I know we talked about a lot on the pre and the post game show. He is, I think, made himself into a useful player and somebody that the Warriors, you know, are going to want to have around as an option here. You know, moving into next season. So I've got those three that I just add into the mix of, I would project those three to be, you know, playing somewhere around, let's say, 20 minutes for the Warriors next year on paper.
Here's another thing that I would be concerned about if I were the Warriors. This may sound unfair, and they're certainly not going to say it publicly, but if you've watched sports a long time, I think you know where I'm going here. You look at players like Chris is a great example. Phenomenal year last year, right? I mean, all things considered. Incredible year. I remember when I was listening to Damon Radwanowski when they signed Marquese Chriss. And, you know, we're very familiar with Marquese Chriss. I remember wondering, as I was in my car wondering, why in the world would they do that? And he was a revelation last year. But guys like Marquese Chriss, to a degree, Paschal, last year, teams took it easy against the Warriors. And that's not their fault. But next year, if the Warriors are back and they're relevant again, those guys are going to see a higher level of competition from other teams. And I think it's going to be interesting to see whether these guys are able to repeat some of the surprise players last year, if they're able to repeat that next year when teams are more conscious of how good the Warriors are. I don't know if you agree with that. I don't know if that's fair, but it's something I'll be keeping an eye on. Because it's going to be different next year.
No, and you can, and to that point, you can't just say – You can't just say with certainty you're going to get this or you're going to get that from any of those players. And that, like, that's why I'm reluctant to say, all right, Marquese Chriss is the starting center, for example. I stop short of that. I know there are a number of people that cover the team on a regular basis that say, no, he's going to start and he's going to play 30 minutes. I don't think so. And I think the Warriors actually know that he isn't going to be doing that if they're going to be a contending team. Can he be somebody, though? Again, as you start to pencil it out, can he be somebody that can play 20 minutes for you? Yeah, I think going into the year, you know, you could loosely expect that. Same thing for Eric Paschal, same thing for Damian Lee. And then, so now you have seven, right? You have those three, and I'll even put Kevon Looney in that category as well. You don't know what you're going to get, but somebody that can play, you know, if he's healthy, you know, anywhere between, let's say, 15 and 20 minutes a game, right? So you've got him in that mix as well. So you've got the four headliners, and then you've got those four. That's eight. To me, you have four slots, basically, that are, in my mind, the most important pieces to determine how good the Warriors are in 2020, 2021. And it is the draft pick, the trade exception, the mid-level exception, and I put one veteran minimum player. So there are four open slots. And to me, those slots need to be, you know, two of those four need to be better players than Chris, Looney, Paschal, and Damian Lee. Like significantly done some things in the league, better, more stable players. I think the other two need to be on that same level of Chris, Paschal, Lee, and Looney to where you're comfortable probably playing them 15 to 20 minutes a game, and it adds to your overall depth, right, with those players that I mentioned. So then you've got six guys that you feel really good about, and then you've got six other guys that you feel pretty good about. So now at that point, you've got 12 guys that's your team, basically. And, you know, then you separate from that and you get into Smiley Geechu's a project and Mulder and Poole and Bowman and maybe Juan Toscano-Anderson, maybe, you know, if there's a second round pick in the mix or something like that. But those guys you're not counting on for anything in 2020 and 2021. They're just projects. They're going to be around, play maybe in an emergency, up and down between the G League. But to me, the Warriors have of their primary group of 12, they have the top four in my mind, and they have the bottom four of that group of 12. It's what does the in-between four look like that's going to determine, in my mind, how good they can be.
Well, I'm just crushed that you didn't mention my guy Bender, but I'm gonna forgive it for now. Yeah, Dragan Bender. He had some moments. I think he had 10 points against the Suns or something like that. All kidding aside, I'm really high on Halliburton. If the Warriors, if they don't pick first, I don't know if we have it, Joe. Draymond had some. Someone asked him about Wiseman, and basically he just said, you know, it's getting a lot of play, but he basically said, I have no idea. He said, look, remember, I was drafted 35th, but, he was asked about Wiseman. He said, yeah, he seems like he can run the floor, but it really speaks to where the Warriors are with some of these guys. The thing I like about Halliburton specifically is what we think we know about him. I think he's a guy that can be a piece going forward that you can develop. At the same time, he looks like he would be able to contribute right away. I know we've had that discussion, you and I, with the Warriors about, hey, well, are you going to get somebody you can stash and develop, or somebody who can help now that is trade the pick? But if a guy like Halliburton, what I like about him is I think he's a 3-and-D guy. People compare him to Livingston. You know, it's not fair to him. He's a much better shooter, though, right now than Livingston ever was. So I think a guy like that would be a really nice fit for them going forward. I don't know what thought you have on draft picks. It's difficult because we don't know where they're going to pick exactly.
Yeah, I've been reluctant to get too deep into the draft conversation until we know, and also just because we're going to know what pick it is, and then we're still going to have close to 2 months from that point. So it's like I don't feel the need to get into depth. I mean, we're in essence 2 months away from being 2 months away, right? Like we're 2 months away from being 2 months away from when they're actually going to make this pick, more or less. But the one thing that I will say is, regardless of who the pick is, the position that he plays, or if the Warriors even take the pick and turn the pick into, let's say, a veteran player. Like, let's say the Warriors wind up with the second pick, and they turn the second pick into the 12th pick and a player, right? Well, the 12th pick and a player would be, you know, two of those four spots at that, you know, at that point in time that I'm talking about that they really need to fill. So and in essence, they need to fill with two of those four spots. They have to fill the Iguodala and Livingston roles, you know, because, you know, Damian Lee and Eric Paschal and Marquese Chriss and Kevon Looney aren't going to be those guys. So you're, you know, two of those guys, that's what I kind of mean when I say two of those guys have to be your next two best players after Curry, Clay, Draymond, and Wiggins. And whether it's your pick or your trade exception for Iguodala or your mid-level or your veteran minimum, two of those four guys have to be in your top six and basically fill the Iguodala and Livingston roles and push Chris, Paschal, Lee, and Looney down the depth chart at least to where it's more the 7-10 range, if not let's say the 9-12 range in terms of, you know, when you're looking at your overall roster composition.
We have a couple of names that Warrior fans are all too familiar with popping up here on the text line, 888-957-9570. And of course, starting Monday, we want you to submit your top 10 list here, top 10 Bay Area athletes of all time, 957thegame.com. Next week, each host will be sharing their top 10, and then beginning the 13th, we'll tally up the fan votes and reveal the final top 10 list and eventually name the greatest athlete in Bay Area sports history. So on the text line from the 510, and hey, I've said it before, I'll say it again on the text line, put your name on it, as Herm Edwards says, so we can give you credit. If Steph Curry doesn't finish at the top of the best athletes, I will fight both Whitey and Dickinson. That's from the 510. If Steph's not number one, they want to fight both of us.
I will punch you in the face!
Well, we're going to have to meet me. Let's figure out where we're going to meet.
Can you handle it on your own, or do you need me there too that day?
I got you, Whitey. No, I'll take care of it. You figure, you know what? You work out where I'm going to meet this guy, and we'll...
Okay. from the 925. Yeah, we were talking about Kevin Durant because I think he's going to be on my list from the 925. Durant is one of the best, greatest, and most dominant athletes in Bay Area history. I see where you're going there. Yeah, he wasn't here a long time, and I know a lot of people soured on the fact that he would kind of pouted through his end as a Warrior, and then he moved on. But wow, when he was here, my goodness, 3 years, two titles, two finals MVPs. I'm with the texter on that one. Then we have this from, Pete in Emeryville. Guys, what is the over-under for how many women make a KGMZ host's top 10 list? I'm looking at it primarily as team sports. That's how I'm looking at it. So I don't think I had any women on my list. I don't mean to be biased. I'm just looking at team sports because I think they've had more of an impact and people are more interested in that. So I'll take a second look at that, Pete. How about you, JD?
Yeah, the question that I'm left with just from what you were talking about is would Kevin Durant be more likely to make the list than, say, a guy like Klay Thompson? He would almost have to, right?
I think he belongs on there more than Klay, but I would bet that the vast majority of Warrior fans are going to have Klay on there and not KD because of his sense of loyalty. And, you know, that's my guess.
I've also come up with a seventh player that's an absolute lock just in the time. I know earlier I said, you know, I had six that were, you know, two each from the 49ers, Giants, and the Warriors, two locks. I've come up with one A's lock. I'm not saying that there isn't more than one, that's deserving, but there is one A's lock. And then
did
I start getting in. No,
did he
go
ever
ahead.
Hit leadoff? Did your A's player ever
hit?
Yeah. Okay.
He may have. He may have.
Yeah.
So. Exactly. And then I started looking at the seven that I had for sure, and they're all, I mean, Barry Bonds notwithstanding, they're all Hall of Famers, and Barry Bonds should be a Hall of Famer. So, and then I started thinking, well, wait a minute, are you going to have to be a Hall of Famer to be on this list? I think the answer is probably yes. And that's kind of how I started to break some of the ties. You know, because there are players that I think are worthy of consideration. You know, a Tim Lincecum is, I think, worthy of consideration, but he's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, so, that's a tough one. That brings me to a player that I think people are not going to consider whatsoever, and I think some people will consider Timmy, and I think this player was way better and more impactful when he was here than Tim Lincecum. And Tim Lincecum, I know, was pretty good. So tell you who that is. We'll get back to it at 888-957-9570. You want to share who's making your list, your top 10 athletes. And we have no baseball, but we can certainly talk baseball. So coming up, how this odd MLB season helps one Bay Area team while potentially hurting the other. That's coming up, Whitey and JD on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason.
4th of July weekend is here. We have no baseball. That seems strange, but at least baseball is starting to get going. Fingers crossed that we have even a 60-game MLB season. And it's funny, JD, Whitey Gleason, John Dickinson, great working with JD again. First time I've been on the air with JD since March the 10th when we did Warriors wrap up after a Clippers Warriors game. But JD, it's funny how you run into baseball fans. I've been, you know, walking my dog every night a couple weeks ago. And I apologize. I've told this story on the air, but I haven't told you. So I don't mean to be redundant, but I'm walking down the street and two houses down, there's a guy who's lived down two houses down from me. He's lived there for a long time. Never actually met him, but he's out front of his house. And I say, hey, how you doing? He goes, hi. And, you know, we're admiring each other's dogs. And I said, what's your dog's name? And he says, Andy Pettit. I said, wait, what?
Wow.
He said, yeah, my dog's name is Andy Pettit. And he goes, Andy Pettit's a baseball pitcher. And then he goes, well, you probably know that. It turns out Andy Pettit is a female. She's a wonderful dog. But I just about knocked me over that his dog is actually named Andy Pettit. Now,
wow.
We get along great. The only problem is he's a big Yankee fan, and I don't know how, you know, if we can be really, really good baseball friends if he's a Yankee fan, JD.
I think you can find it in your heart. Okay. I think you can. No?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Would you, I mean, if you had somebody down the street who was a big, big, big Dodger fan, would you be able to find it in your heart to say, hey, that's okay, we can be friends?
Sure, why not?
All right.
Just give us baseball back.
Yeah, there you go.
No,
there you go.
You were saying, you know, why there's no baseball, and I know there isn't yet, and who knows if this thing will even get off the ground here in the next couple of weeks. But, you know, today I flipped on MLB Network early, you know, as I was getting ready, you know, to prep for the show and getting everything kind of set up. And they had we have baseball because they were kind of going around to different camps. I think there were a few players that were early at Phillies camp and I want to say Nationals camp going on at their individual ballparks. So there were, you know, guys doing drills. I think Ron Washington was out doing drills in at the Braves park with you know, some of their infielders. And so it's been nice. I've just kind of had it on here in front of me as we're doing the show. You know, they got the ballpark cams out, and it feels a little bit like, you know, I know the Giants are going to have a workout today, the A's tomorrow. I'm looking at Mike Trout right now with a mask on, I think jogging around the outfield.
Okay, well, that's something, and I'll take it. 60-game season, yeah, I'll take it. Right? By the way, speaking of dogs named after athletes, we had a dog once, and I was going to name him, and for like 2 hours I did name him after Harold Miner. And somebody said, yeah, you can't do that. We changed his name. And it was during the slam dunk contest or something. We thought, yeah, Miner is going to be named for Harold Miner. And luckily for the benefit of the dog, we changed his name. I don't think that would have been a good name for the dog to name him after. Baby Jordan, Harold Miner. Be that as it may, we've been talking today about the Bay Area's top 10 greatest athletes of all time. Because as you know, starting Monday, we want you to submit your list. 957thegame.com, and then next week, hosts will be debating this, and then starting on the 13th, we'll tally up your votes and reveal the final top 10 list. You were mentioning Tim Lincecum, JD, and I certainly understand that, right? I mean, 3 championships with the Giants, 2-time Cy Young winner, but there's a guy to me that I think deserves more consideration for Tim Lincecum. I don't think this guy that I'm thinking of has any chance to make the list, but I think people should consider. He won 3 rings in the Bay Area. He was an MVP winner and a Cy Young winner in the same year, pitched for the A's and the Giants. I'm talking about Vito Blue. Vito Blue was 209 and 161. Vito Blue in 1971 was 24-8 with an ERA of 1.82. He gave up an average of 6 hits per 9 innings. He averaged a 6 hitter that year. I know Vito Blue had some issues with substance abuse, and I know that later in his career, he pitched for the Giants. He was not close to the pitcher he had been. But Vito Blue, without Vito Blue, the A's don't win their 3 World Series rings, and I think he should at least get some consideration.
I think that's a great call. I think he absolutely deserves it, and he's somebody that would immediately go in the mix for my final 3 vacant spots, because I have 7 that I don't think can be removed. I have an 8th that I think is pretty close to a lock. I actually have an 8th and a 9th that are pretty close to a lock, but there is a wider discussion, I think, maybe to be had. Do you want me to just give? Do you want me to start giving them away? Do we want to start talking about the
it's
actual
totally
names?
Totally your call. Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a 10-1, but we can have a conversation if you want about the guys that I think are locks and kind of go from there. And I think what I'm going to end up doing is probably when I'm on, if I'm on at some point next week, I may give my official list, or maybe even if I'm on next Saturday. I know I've been back on the air the last few Saturdays, but not tomorrow because of the holiday. I may give away a formal 10-1 at that point. But I don't know. I'm comfortable if you want to get into I can give you the seven guys that I think are locks, and then maybe we'll have a discussion about who else should be there. But I don't want to get into the debate of who's one, who's two, who's three necessarily.
I'm with you. I have something similar. I have 10 names, but I don't have them ranked, and it's not necessarily my final list. So, yeah, if you want to share that with us, that'd be great. Real quickly, if I may, on the text line, 888-957-9570, Robin says, Vita Blue, also Catfish Hunter Reggie Jackson. I mean, the A's won in the 70s. They won three championships, and teams around here weren't really winning championships back then. From the 415, Roger Craig, even Ray Guy. Someone from the 408 says they had a dog named Aikman, which is nice. Some rules clarifications from the 530. Is anyone considering Tiger Woods, who went to Stanford, for the 10 best list? Well, no, because he really wasn't famous when he was at Stanford, right? Tiger Woods became Tiger Woods somewhere else, so he didn't have the impact just on the Bay Area, right? Is that the way you see these ground rules, JD?
Yeah, and for me it was also I went team sports, too.
Right.
I know you had made that clarification. I went team sports, so I think I would have I wouldn't have Tiger Woods in that mix. I do, though, to Robin's point, I did have Reggie Jackson and Catfish Hunter on my list of players in the conversation.
Good for you. Yeah, from Mike Diebel. Again, clarification: is Tom Brady considered a Bay Area athlete, considering he hasn't played professional sports here? No, not according to the ground rules, if you will, of this question, right, JD? Tom Brady, phenomenal. But we're talking about people who played, who performed, and contributed to success and had success in the Bay Area. So Brady would not be eligible for this list.
Correct.
Yeah. Andre Ward gets a mention from Jamie V. So you're going to share with us your seven locks, seven guys that you say absolutely it's not debatable, belong on this list?
Yeah. I have seven that are absolutely not debatable. The seven are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yeah.
In no particular order, but this is just how I jotted them down. I have Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Barry Bonds, Steph Curry, Rick Barry, Willie Mays, and Ricky Henderson.
I have five of those on my list. The two that I don't have, and again, this is premature, perhaps. Tentative list. I do not have Barry. And again, I understand why you do. I don't want to waste anybody's time going over that again. I don't have either Barry. I don't have Barry Bonds, and I don't have Rick Barry. But that's a whoo. Yeah. I mean, Rick Barry, obviously, I need to take a second look at that. But yeah, the other ones, I'm with you. Montana, Mays, Rice, Curry. Now, I have Ronnie Lott. How much consideration is Ronnie Lott getting from you?
I'll give you. Ronnie Lott is right there as far as in the mix of players to be considered for my final three slots. I have Ronnie Lott, Steve Young, Clay Thompson, Madison Bumgarner, Willie McCovey, and then I have Reggie Jackson and Catfish Hunter. And I did not have Vita Blue in the mix. But I think when you mentioned him, I added him to the list of those that should, get some consideration. But yeah, Ronnie Lott is maybe the next guy up, either him or him and McCovey and Bumgarner, maybe one of the A's guys. I mean, do we consider Raiders players anymore? I didn't consider any Raiders players, but if you're like old Oakland Raiders players, do they get in the mix?
I think they have to be considered. Somebody on the text line suggests Kenny Stabler. I've looked at him. The Raider that I have on my list right now, I don't think this will be too popular, but let's see. What did he play? Like 15 seasons, and he missed one game or something. Gene Upshaw was unbelievable, and he was with the Oakland Raiders when they were in three Super Bowls. He won two of them, and obviously offensive linemen. People don't remember him the way they remember skill position players, but Gene Upshaw and Jim Otto was another one. Jim Otto was like the Raider center for 50. I don't think he ever missed a game. So to me, those two guys, the Raiders were going way back when the original Oakland Raiders, I mean, my goodness, they really helped set some Bay Area sports standards. So I think they deserve consideration.
Yeah, so I would have to take a look at a couple of Raider players. I don't think that there weren't that many just off the top of my head that actually, you know, stood out to maybe be added to the list. But yeah, I would say after the top seven, you know, like is Madison Bumgarner a Hall of Famer? Probably not
yet,
right?
I don't think. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he would be like, obviously he's a Giants Hall of Famer. He'll make that Wall of Fame easy, but I don't know. And it's so hard now because, not to dodge the question, but as you know, when it comes to evaluating pitchers and their Hall of Fame candidacy, the guys that vote now, they look at it totally differently. You know, a guy like Mike Mussino would have never made it, and now, okay, he's in, because they just look at things differently. So Mad Bum, 119 and 92, 313 ERA, never won a Cy Young, All-Star four times. I don't know.
He's probably not.
Probably not. Yeah, 11 years.
And that's even with the three World Series. That's even with, you know, allowing, what, one run and three different World Series over what was, you know, what, four starts and a relief appearance.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, with him. And if I had a vote and I don't, you know, the baseball postseason, JD, as you know, there are a lot more games in the baseball postseason than there used to be, right? It used to be, I mean, way back when, it's like you had the American League winner, National League, they play the World Series. Now you have divisional rounds. Mad Bum in the postseason. Let's see here. 4 years, 12 series. We're talking about, you know, divisional series, World Series, wild card. 8-3 with an ERA of 2.11. So when the time comes to make his Hall of Fame case, assuming that that either improves or doesn't get substantially worse, that is where you'd make the case for Mad Bum as a Hall of Famer. It's like, yeah, okay, regular season he was good, but when the games were on the line, 8-3, 2.11, those numbers suggest Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, that is where you make the case. And look, I know he has had, and especially the World Series, right? Especially where, you know,
4-0,
he goes and
yes.
He,
4-0 yeah. In the World Series. ERA. Do you know what his ERA? I would not have known this.
I may be off by a run here. I mean, he gave up one run, right?
According to Baseball Reference,
or two.
Three World Series, 4-0, so 1,000 winning percentage. ERA, 0.25.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
14 hits in 36 innings.
I mean, off the top of my head, he gave up, yeah, because he didn't give up any runs. I think he gave up one run in the World.
That's correct.
In the World Series, and it was the home run against Kansas City in Game One.
Mm-hmm.
That
31 strikeouts, 5 walks. And again, you know, you can get lost in the numbers, and at some point, it's like, yeah, blah blah blah. But yeah, those are Hall of Fame worthy numbers. And to be honest, I knew he was a fine postseason pitcher. I didn't know his numbers were that good. So now I'm thinking, wow, I got to put that guy on my list, because that's one of the things my list is about, is guys that did it when it was most important. And he's at the top or near the top of that class.
Yeah. And I mean, and then you also have, I mean, he pitched in two do or die wild card games and didn't give up a run in either one of those. In 16 against the Mets before the Giants ended up losing to the Cubs. And in 14 against the Pirates. So he pitched in that game twice, and I believe he went complete game shutout in both of them.
Two wild cards, 2-0, 18 innings, eight hits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two complete
no
games.
Runs.
Yeah. No runs. No runs. Yeah.
Shutouts.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I got to change my list.
I mean, I think, you know, the postseason stuff, and look, I know he wasn't perfect, but I keep going back to, I mean, he was, what, 20 years old, I believe, when he pitched in the World Series for the first time. May have been 21 when he pitched in the World Series for the first time. And, you know, he's pitching in Game 4 in Texas, and it's, you know, 7-8 shutout innings. You know,
you're exactly right, and he was 20. 2010, he was 20 years old. 8 innings, 3 hits in his first World Series start. And as we said, overall in the World Series, 4-0 with an ERA of .25. You want a money pitcher? That's your guy. Madison.
Yeah, so I mean, so I think, you know, he deserves some consideration. Like, that's how I separate, you know, him from, let's say, Matt Cain and Tim Lincecum. You know, as far as if you're trying to filter that out, I know Lincecum had the 2 Cy Youngs. I know Lincecum had 4 years of dominance from, you know, 08 to 11. And he was the headliner in terms of, you know, the 2010 year. I know Cain was kind of the headliner in 12, but Bumgarner was the only pitcher that was a major factor among the starters all 3 years. And in particular, all 3 years in the biggest games, meaning the World Series games and obviously a couple of those wild card games.
Yeah, through those 3 and 5, he was the tent pole of that staff. Other guys at times were better, but over the whole 5 years, no one was as consistently good as Mad Bum. On the text line here, come on, guys, Joe Thornton. Joe Thornton getting a lot of play. Stacy in San Jose, I have Joe Thornton, Dave Stewart on my list. Stacy would love your thoughts on Joe Thornton and Dave Stewart. I love Dave Stewart. I just can't, top 10, I can't do it. And, I mean, he is a great guy, and he was an outstanding pitcher, won 20 games, 4 years in a row, won 20 games. I just can't put Dave Stewart in the top 10 Bay Area athletes. I don't know about you, JD.
Yeah, Joe Thornton's an interesting one. I mean, if you were going to take a shark, that would obviously be the shark that you would take. Although, you know, I think some would say, well, maybe you got to take Patrick Marleau because Patrick Marleau was drafted by the Sharks, right? Joe Thornton was was traded to the Sharks. Thornton's interesting if you're going to take a shark. I mean, I think you go back to Vida Blue. I think you would take Vida Blue over Dave Stewart. And that would kind of knock him out. So I would be more apt to, and again, I only have 3 slots unless I'm taking somebody out. And I feel like I want to find a spot for Bumgarner as my 8th. You know, Ronnie Lott feels like my 9. He really does.
Yeah. Ronnie Lott, I consider him like, he's one of my, to me, Ronnie Lott is, he has to be on anybody's list, in my opinion. He was like the, and someone said it on the text line, he was basically the Joe Montana of the defense.
Yeah.
For those great
and
teams.
Then it,
yeah.
So if I'm adding Bumgarner and Ronnie Lott, that gets me to 9. So it would be Montana, Rice, Bonds, Mays, Steph Curry, Rick Barry, and then I'm adding Madison Bumgarner and Ronnie Lott. So I would have 1 more slot available for, in, you know, just how I have them listed here on my sheet. Steve Young, Clay Thompson, Reggie Jackson, Catfish Hunter, Vida Blue, Joe Thornton.
Probably no Raiders going to make your list, huh?
Yeah, I think the Raiders are out.
You're out on the Raiders.
Yeah, I think the Raiders are. I just don't think I have a. I just don't. Who would be the number one Raider?
Well, let's see. Some people
Gene
are
Upshaw?
Suggesting Jim Otto, probably, but people, you know, Ken Stabler. I think most people would suggest Stabler.
No, let's see. Stabler's not doing it for me.
Marcus Allen, but again, a guy like Marcus Allen, you think of him also as a as an LA Raider. So,
Yeah, no, I think I'm going no Raiders.
Tim Brown?
No. And he was, no.
Just win, baby.
Yeah, I feel like I need to have a Raider on there, but I understand your point. There's nobody, there are no Raider names, and I know Raider fans may get upset, but it's a fact. Nobody from the Raiders stands out like a Montana or a Curry or Barry Bonds, right? Raiders obviously had some all-time great players, but nobody from the Oakland Raiders stands out like those guys. And when you're talking top 10 of all time, and then you consider also that it becomes a little clouded given the fact that the Raiders, they moved to L.A. Someone last night on the butcher shop was like, Bo Jackson. It's like, Bo Jackson was an L.A. Raider. So it's going to be tough for a Raider to crack the list. I still feel like I need to have somebody on there. Right now, Gene Upshaw is my leading candidate. But I understand your point, J.D.
Yeah, and I've eliminated, just while we were sitting here, I've eliminated Clay Thompson, Tim Lincecum as well. So I've got Steve Young. I guess you can't, you know, it's Steve Young, Reggie Jackson, K- Catfish Hunter, Vida Blue. I guess Steve Young has the least resume of those.
I don't have Steve Young on my list, but I certainly understand why someone would. And I think some of it is, to me, nothing against Steve Young, but, you know, compare him to Montana is like, he's an all-time great, but he wasn't Joe Montana. So it's hard for me to justify having them both on there. That's just right. How I look at it. Maybe that's not fair, but that's how I look at it.
What about McCovey?
I had a hard time with him. And part of that's because I remember Willie McCovey as a kid, and I've read about Willie McCovey and what a fearsome hitter he was, you know, when he came up in, what, 59. But the Giants didn't win. They never won a World Series when he was here. And also, this may be unfair, I remember at the end of his career, the poor guy had arthritic knees, and I remember he bounced around to a lot of teams. So my personal memories of Willie McCovey were kind of as a player at the end of his career. So maybe that's coloring my perception of him. A great first baseman, a great slugger, a guy who was hurt, frankly, by the fact that guys on steroids have hit so many more home runs because people have passed him on the all-time home run list. I can't justify putting him on the top 10, certainly top 20 and an all-time great, but I have a hard time putting him on in my top 10. He's in your top 10, though, right?
Well, no, he's on the fringe.
Okay.
He's in the discussion. He's in the discussion now with Reggie Jackson and Catfish Hunter and Vida Blue and Joe Thornton.
Yeah, and Reggie. Reggie moving on to the Yankees. Anybody left the A's and went to the A's? Yeah, I have a hard time. Even Catfish Hunter, I have a hard time with that, but certainly they're worthy.
Yeah, I think I was going to eliminate Reggie Jackson too. So I'm starting to whittle it down there, Whitey. I'm starting to get to a point where it's looking like it might be Joe Thornton or Vida Blue for my 10th and final spot.
Wow. A fascinating decision. All right, yeah, submit your top 10 list at 957thegame.com. Starting Monday, you can do that. And then starting on July 13th, we'll tally up the fan votes and reveal the final top 10 list. And eventually, we'll have somebody named the greatest athlete in Bay Area sports history. Thanks for being with us this morning. Coming up, yeah, we will get to it, how this odd MLB season appears to favor one Bay Area team while potentially hurting another. That's next with Whitey and JD, 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.